This time on Psychic Investigators. A young woman vanishes without a word.
In the back of my mind, she was hitchhiking and somebody had gotten a hold of her.
The police think she's run away, but a psychic sees murder.
I feel it was a crime of passion.
The case goes cold for almost 30 years.
We thought that, you know, something more could be done on the case. Let's take another look at it and see where it goes.
But can a psychic's visions crack a cold case from so long ago?
You really can't expect somebody that's been lying for 25 years to all of a sudden say, I did it.
California, in the foothills of the Santa Cruz Mountains. Once known for its orchards, by the late 1970s, it's become a bedroom community for Bay Area commuters.
It was a very quiet, calming place. It was affluent as it is today. The people who lived here cared greatly about their community.
Los Altos is a safe haven. A good place to raise a family, or so it seemed. On March 28, 1978, 17-year-old Laura Ann Byerly, a student at Los Altos High, vanishes without a trace. When she doesn't come home that night, her parents file a missing persons report. Police quickly decide Laura has run away, with good reason.
She had run away at least 6 times, and she had had problems with her parents. She would run away, she would disappear. She had been gone for several weeks, and then she would reappear, come back home. She'd always keep in contact with her friends, and then, you know, come back into the household to make amends with her mom.
Mary Cressy has been Laura's best friend since the 8th grade.
Every time that she ran away, I was always the first person she'd go to. She ran away, but she always came right back.
Her parents, Irwin and Betty Byerly, are sure that this time she hasn't run away. Recently, she's been turning her life around.
She was rebuilding her relationship with her parents. She had decent friends and wanted to change.
But the police are certain that Laura has taken off, and her friends are hiding it.
So you guys saw her yesterday, and if you guys have seen her, you know her.
They questioned us about last time we had seen Laura, and they said, well, has she contacted you? And I said, no. I was like a sister to Laura. We stuck together through everything. We would take her parents' station wagon out and we'd unhook the speedometer so they wouldn't know we were going somewhere. We would say we'd be in town going shopping, but actually we'd hit Santa Cruz. She was just a social butterfly. She trusted people.
At the Byerly's insistence, police proceed with a routine missing persons investigation. They discover that the day she disappeared, Laura broke up with one young man, Scott Schultz, and made a date with another, John McFuller.
The day she had disappeared, she had gone to school that morning. She had the same class as this John McFuller in the morning. Two witnesses say they saw her leaving, going into the parking lot area. She did not go to her second period class. She was never seen again.
Police question Laura's ex, Scott Schultz.
He tells the police that he was home and he never saw Lori. He thought she was going to hitchhike over to the house.
The police have no reason to doubt Scott Schultz. Laura is known to hitchhike. With no witnesses and no evidence of foul play, the investigation winds down. But there's still no sign of Laura, and her mother won't give up.
She didn't know why she would run away. She didn't know why she just disappeared. She had no idea what happened.
Betty felt in her heart something had gone wrong. I was the one that suggested to hire a psychic, and that's where Annette Martin came in.
Annette Martin is a well-respected California psychic who's helped to solve crimes for law enforcement agencies across the country, including the FBI. 10 days after her daughter's disappearance, Betty Byerly visits the psychic and provides her with a photograph of Laura.
I close my eyes and I take a couple of deep breaths, and immediately I begin to receive impressions from that photograph. Laura did not run away at all. The police are wrong.
Then the psychic says something no mother wants to hear.
The most difficult thing in the world is to tell a mother that her child is dead.
Hello. 17-year-old Laura Byerly has gone missing from her Los Altos home. Desperate to find her daughter, Betty Byerly has met with a psychic. What she tells her is devastating.
I mean, my daughter's dead.
It feels that way.
Oh, my God.
It feels that way.
Oh, my God.
I'm not getting any impulses of life here.
The psychic offers another striking revelation. She names the killer.
I saw a name, and the name was Scott. She goes, "That's her boyfriend." Then I saw that he had taken her to this place that was in the woods, and saw him driving down towards Santa Cruz. They were arguing and fighting. I saw him shaking her. I feel it was a crime of passion. And then I saw him bury her in a very shallow grave. Betty was in a state of shock. I had said that the police would not find her body, but I saw a hiker finding her body. And I said to Betty, have they spoken to this Scott? And she said, yes, they have.
Betty clings to the hope the psychic is wrong. But in her heart, she believes Laura is dead, murdered by her boyfriend, and buried in the Santa Cruz Mountains.
I remember sitting in her mom's living room and crying our eyes out together, going, no, it can't happen. It can't happen to her only daughter.
Laura's mother turns the tape over to the police and begs them to look more closely at Scott Schultz. She tells them that Laura and Scott have been dating for 6 months, that he's bad news, controlling and possessive, a dropout who's going nowhere.
With Scott, she seemed to be a different person. She would sit there and would clam up. I felt in my heart that she was almost afraid of him.
But Laura was moving away from her boyfriend. The morning she disappeared, she broke up with him in a long phone call Laura's mother
Hello.
Describes to police.
The phone call started about 1:40 in the morning, and they talked for 4 hours. A according to Laura, they talk about their relationship, how she's, you know, no longer wants a relationship with him. He's very emotional. He cries on the phone several times related to them breaking up, and that she's going in a different direction.
Come on, Laura. I want to see you again.
In the morning, she notices that Laura's crying, and Laura tells her, hey, I just broke up with Scott. I broke up with him on the phone. I feel bad that I didn't do it in person. And the mom just tells her, you know, hey, don't worry about it. Just go to school. You know, things will get better.
It's the last time Betty Byerly sees her daughter alive. Despite the psychic suspicions, the police still have nothing to link Scott to Laura's disappearance. The police have nothing on him and no reason to believe Laura has been murdered. However, they search a small section of the mountains where the psychic says Laura will be found. But they find nothing. Police set the case aside. Weeks and months go by with no news. Then, more than a year after Laura vanished, hikers in the Big Basin State Park make a grisly find.
Well, April 1979, some hikers in the Santa Cruz Mountains going along a trail, their dog goes off to the side, and he brings out what appears to be a bone. The people kind of look at it, and then they discover that, hey, this is a human mandible. They also find some clothing and some other items, and they gather all these items. So they go alert the ranger who then calls the police department. They recognize it as a crime scene.
The Santa Cruz County coroner concludes the young woman has been dead for at least a year. Her name is Laura Byerly. The police contact Mary Cressy, now living in Salem, Oregon.
They said that they'd like to fly in and interview me, and they would like to have me look at some items that belong to Laura. I had to do this because her dad had died 6 months after Laura disappeared, and I don't think that her mom was able to handle the pressure. I had to identify her shoes. I had to identify her black polyester pants. And I had to identify her sheer flower top. That's all that was left. Her jewelry wasn't there. And Laura always wore jewelry. So I thought that was quite odd.
The Santa Cruz police join with Los Altos to investigate what is now considered a homicide. They re-interview witnesses, including Scott Schultz, but uncover no new leads.
The Los Altos detective re-interviews Scott at that time. In fact, at this time, it's the most thorough interview of Scott done by the Los Altos Police Department. But he's really never really taken on as a major suspect in this case. They can't tie him to the crime scene. They can't tie him to her disappearance. He's just kind of a player that really has never been identified. As far as they're concerned, she was a runaway.
Case goes cold. In 1996, Betty Byerly dies in a house fire. With both her parents dead, it seems Laura's memory is dying too. But in 2005, nearly 30 years after she vanished, cold case investigator Detective Michael Shembri gets a call from Laura's old friend, Mary Cressy.
It was always in the back of my mind that there had to be an answer to this. And I said, you need to pursue it. You need to keep after them, and you need to make sure that this does not get closed again.
She felt at the time, in 1978, that the police department really hadn't done a thorough investigation. And she thought that if we reopened the case and started contacting people, maybe something could be done. And especially in this case, because there was really no family members alive, and there was really nobody else that was, you know, kind of holding a torch to get this thing done. We read it, and we thought that, you know, something more could be done on the case. Let's take another look at it and see where it goes.
One detail in Laura's file that catches the detective's eye is a reference to psychic Annette Martin. But the tape of the psychic's reading is missing.
Mike Chambry called me on the phone and said to me, I was just wondering if you would possibly have a copy of that tape. And I said, yes. I keep a copy of every single murder case.
A lot of these old cases, you'll find that the family has made contact with a psychic. It's not uncommon. If somebody has this ability, that's great. And in this case, it's been open for 25 years. It's certainly not going to hurt. Annette had specific information about the location of the body and what took place. And that information given at that time was not that far off base.
The psychic had predicted Laura's murder and how her body would be found. But will her visions help the police track the killer? It's been nearly 30 years since the remains of 17-year-old Laura Byerly were found in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Her killer has never been found. Cold case investigator Michael Chambry listens to the long-lost tape of a psychic reading.
God definitely has something to do with her disappearance. He's very sick.
In it, the psychic zeroes in on the boyfriend, Scott Schultz, who police eliminated as a suspect all those years ago.
So I wanted to talk to her to see if there was any other information or any other feelings that maybe I could take a look at or would point me in a direction where I would get other evidence that would really help in this case. When you're listening to a psychic statement and you're reading the psychic statement, you're still a police officer. So you know that you're just taking this information and you're gonna take it and see if you can do anything with it. Will it provide me a witness? Will it give me a better look at the crime scene? Will it show me a different location where they could have been earlier or give me something that I didn't have before? So that's how I looked at her information. Because you realize this information is not admissible in court. You can't walk into court and say, the psychic said that Scott Schultz killed her, so therefore we rest our case.
The deeper Chambry digs, the more his suspicions match the psychic's.
There are several facts that just didn't make any sense. Fact that she had talked to him that morning for 4 hours. She had gone to school and she had made a date in her first period class with her new boyfriend, John McFolin. Then she had a hair appointment later on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. To me, a young lady that had just made a date with her new boyfriend, that had a hair appointment, she wouldn't run away. She wouldn't disappear unless something specifically happened to her.
Chambry tracks down Scott Schultz, now 46, and a mechanic in Loveland, Colorado. Before interviewing Scott, the detective talks to Cheryl Schultz, his ex-wife. The story she tells him only serves to heighten his suspicions.
She talks about an incident in 1990 where she is going through his items. She finds this box in the back of one of his dressers. And inside the box, she finds this article about this girl that has disappeared and the bones being found in the Santa Cruz Mountains. She also finds a ring and she finds a couple other items. And she kind of wonders, who is this? He's never talked to me about this, but obviously it's pretty important because he's kept the article. Eventually she asks him about this and he just kind of blows it off, just saying it was an ex-girlfriend. So you have that information, it's like, why would he keep these items?
Re-interviewing everyone who gave statements originally finally pays off. A woman who was a friend of Scott's reveals to Chambry that 30 years ago, Scott's uncle owned a weekend home 8 miles from where Laura's body was found. Scott knew the area well.
When I saw that he had an uncle that lived on China Grade, then I knew I could tie him to the crime scene. And once I knew I could tie him to the crime scene, then I knew this case was over with. All I had to do was build it up. All I had to do was get the circumstantial evidence that would put it all together, and that would give you enough probable cause to arrest this guy.
The four-hour phone call, the box of mementos, now the connection to the crime scene. The detective has enough for a warrant. August 23rd, 2006. Chambry searches Scott's Colorado home. He discovers Laura's rings, her photograph, and a news clipping. Crucial evidence. Chambry gives psychic Annette Martin a call.
Michael Chambry told me that he was going the next day to Colorado to arrest Scott. And I said, oh, wonderful. Finally, we're going to have closure on this case.
Scott Schultz is arrested for the first-degree murder of his high school girlfriend almost 3 decades earlier.
They called me up and said that they had just arrested Scott Schultz for the murder of Laura Byerly. I'll never forget it. And I just burst out in tears and said, finally.
Brian Welsh is the DA who prosecuted the case.
This really was a classic case of all the circumstantial evidence, when looked at in its entirety, pointed to Scott Schultz and his guilt. But he had steadfastly denied killing Laura when he had been interviewed on a number of occasions by the investigators.
Scott Schultz is extradited to California, where he pleads no contest to a reduced charge of voluntary manslaughter.
Voluntary manslaughter in this case is referred to as a heat of passion crime. Under California law, a person can plead either guilty or no contest. In this case, he pled no contest. At the time he entered the plea, the court informed him that a no contest plea would be treated as a guilty plea.
By pleading no contest, Scott Schultz avoids the uncertain outcome of a jury trial, and the full details of how Laura died are never revealed. But the cold case investigator's best guess is that she and Scott argued. Emotions ran high, and Scott killed her in a fit of rage. Just as the psychic visualized all those years ago.
Some people have the ability to see things. I mean, as you get older, there's a lot of things that you really firmly disbelieve when you were younger, that as you get older, you say, you know what? Maybe that's possible.
Because he was a minor at the time, Scott Schultz is sentenced to just 2 years in prison.
I was saddened. Here, my best friend's gone, and all he got was 2 years. Where's justice? I feel in my heart that justice will be done, and he will eventually have to pay the price fully.
One thing is certain. Without the psychic insights of Annette Martin and the dogged determination of a cold case detective, the murder of Laura Ann Byerly may have remained unsolved forever.